Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. The God of the sunshine and the rain has called us here. Let us worship the God of all creation. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us this morning. If you're here for a first time, we're especially pleased that you've chosen to worship with us. Those of us who are here week in and week out want to extend a hand of friendship to you. And if we're not quick enough about doing that, you come introduce yourselves to us because we do want to know you and we want you to find a home here with us. If you'll look in your bulletin insert, you'll find lots of information about how you can be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. I'm going to lift up just a few things. First of all, our spring stock sale in support of our summer youth mission trips is continuing. You may have already purchased stock to be able to support those young people as they represent God and us on the mission field. If you haven't, there is a table in Reed Hall. You can check right after the service. Even if you can't be there in person, you can be there in spirit as you support these young people as they go on these mission trips. This morning, our crew out at the table includes Nate Horner, Janet Ann Horner, Nash Bolton, Abby Scanlon, and Tucker Deaton. Go talk to one of these young folks and see if you can't help them out. Also, our youth are challenging us to expand and redefine our understanding of neighbor and who our neighbor is. We are partnering with Blood Water Mission to help bring clean, drinkable water to parts of Africa where that's not available now. Last Sunday, we focused on that for our Youth Sunday. Many of you were here for that. There's more information in your bulletin insert, and there is a table in Reed Hall. If you'd like to learn more about our efforts to bring clean water to persons who have rarely, if ever, had access to good drinkable water, go talk to some of the young people who will be staffing that as well. There are sign-ups for the Safe Haven meals. There are also sign-ups for the Campus for Human Development lunch. If you're interested in serving with either of those, please contact Sarah McCormick. Also today, after this service, right at its completion, we're going to have our all-church lunch. It'll be in McWhorter Hall. Some of you may have made reservations. That's great. Even if you haven't, you're welcome to join us. It helps us to have reservations, but Martha always prepares enough so that nobody goes away hungry. We'd love to have you join us for that. If you haven't taken the survey, that is on our website, that's been emailed to many of you, or picked up a copy of it in Reed Hall, please do so. It helps us to know how we appeal to folks both within and outside the church, but also roles that you might be able to take in leadership. Also, a little bit later in this service, we are going to be introducing our new Minister of Administration and Finance, Raul Alegria. And Raul and Bila are here this morning. They're sitting down front, but we're going to get them up here at the end of the service to greet you as well, because, frankly, there are more people here at the end of the service. You stalwarts are here early. Not everybody is, so we're going to hold off, but you get a preview. God has called us here. For what reason, we may not know, but God has called us here. And if we keep our eyes and ears and minds and hearts open, we might just hear that still, small voice of God calling us on.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Do this and you will live.
Let us worship God.
Be seated. The psalmist asks a question. How long? How long will we live unjustly and show partiality instead of loving as God has loved us? Trusting in that love, let us confess our transgressions to the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, we are your sons and daughters, descendants of the God Most High, yet we do not behave to honor you, and our actions belittle the love you have for us. We do not defend the weak or those without fathers or mothers. We do not uphold the poor or the oppressed. We do not commit to efforts to rescue the weak and the needy. We sometimes deliver them into solitude and neglect. Rise up to judge us, O God. We prefer your merciful justice than living with guilt and fear. Straighten our path so that we may be guided as a mother or a father guides beloved children. The triune God's unconditional love does not seek appearances or conditions, but loves in such a way that we are restored to health and wholeness. Thanks be to God that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Listen to a word from the Lord, a lesson from Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. As you know, we dwelt with each other, each one of you, like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. The word of God for the people of God.
Be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come down and join us, you're welcome to do so. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You already know I like to tell stories, and I've been telling stories a long, 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 long time. And come on down. Come have a seat with us. And I've been telling stories in churches a long, 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 long time. Many, many years ago, I used to do just what we're doing today. Children would come down, I would tell them stories, and they would go back to sit with their parents. And a couple of years ago, I met a young woman again who had been one of those children in a church where I served a long time ago. She had grown up into a young woman. She was in her 20s, and she was going to get married. So she asked if I would perform her wedding service. Well, I thought that was pretty cool that I would get to do a wedding service for someone who had sat around at children's time and listened to stories. As we were getting ready to do the wedding, she was telling me how important this time was to her. And I said, "Do you remember any of the stories that I told?" She said, "Well, no. But I remember coming down and feeling very special because I got to come down and I got to sit with our pastor and we got to talk to each other." I started thinking, I sure wish she had remembered some of the stories I told. But then I thought, you know, when you tell a story, you don't just give people the story, you give people a part of yourself. When Pastor Julie or Pastor Becky or Pastor John lead prayers, they are giving you a part of themselves. When I stand up and do the sermon, I'm giving you a part of myself. When you speak a kind word to someone or you give them a hug, you're not just giving them the word or the hug, you're giving them a part of yourself. St. Paul said that when he came to the people who lived in a funny named city called Thessalonica, that's kind of a funny name, I know, but when he came to their city, he didn't just give them the good news about Jesus Christ. He gave them a part of himself. Do you know the reason we do that? It's because God gave us a part of God's own self in Jesus Christ. God came to us just like one of us in Jesus. Now, if God can give us that wonderful divine self, then we're called to share ourselves with each other. And do you know what? Whenever you come down here and whenever you sit and you hear the stories, I don't just give a part of myself to you. You give a part of yourself to me. And that's really, really special because you've given me your time and you've paid attention. So just remember, whenever you tell a story, whenever you give someone a hug, whenever you speak a kind word, you're not just giving them those things. You're giving them a part of yourself, which is exactly what God does for us. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for giving yourself to us. We thank you that we can see you in Jesus and that we can see you in each other and that you've called us to give a part of ourselves to each other. We can only do that with your help, but we know that you will help us every day. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming down. As you look through the New Testament, Thessalonians is the earliest piece of written Christian literature that we have. It's earlier than any of the other letters. It's written earlier than the Gospels. As far as we know, it is the first letter that Paul wrote that survived so that we could read it. And in it, you get a little bit of a different picture of Paul. Now, most of us know Paul in his curmudgeonly contentious self, when he's arguing with the Galatians or when he's instructing the Romans. But we don't get that here. Instead, we get a Paul who is in a kinder, gentler mode. Paul had come to Thessalonica and had been telling people about the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. They had begun meeting in homes there. These were house churches. He was writing back to them after having suffered in a number of different places. And when he writes back to them, he writes with great tenderness, great fondness. He says, "I didn't just offer you the gospel. I offered you myself, my very own self." Now, that's not like the Saul that we met earlier in Acts, is it? No, that Saul was ready to hold the cloaks of people who executed somebody who disagreed with him. But then he encountered Jesus. And from that encounter onward, he was never again willing to put someone to death just because they disagreed with him. Now, there are occasions where you think he's going to talk them to death because they disagree with him in his arguments, but he's never willing to execute them. Because you see, if God could love and forgive Saul, God could love and forgive anybody. And he recognized that. Even those who held different opinions than his. Doesn't mean he didn't argue with them. Doesn't mean he didn't think he was right and they were wrong in their opinions or their approach. But he also knew that God loved those persons just like God loved him. And what we get a glimpse of in 1 Thessalonians is that Paul. The Paul who has the understanding of God's love for all people, which allows him, on occasion, to deal gently with them. Now, I need to confess something here, okay? I had a completely different sermon to plan, and I had a couple of good quotes from a novel called Jaber Crow, which some of you may know, by Wendell Berry, and I'm still going to use one of them. But as I struggled with this sermon, thinking how best to present it, how best do I embody for you in words this Paul who's writing through to the Thessalonians, I went out and picked up the paper this morning, and on the front page there is an article, in fact there are several articles, that detail the history of civil rights, and there's a huge article about one individual, and I thought, that's who I need to tell you about. I need to tell you about Will Campbell. I first encountered Will Campbell when I was in seminary in the 1970s through his writing. And then in the early 80s, I actually got to meet him. We became friends over time. And I came to have a deep, deep respect for Will. We were not only friends, he was my teacher in a lot of ways. Will was born in Amite County, Mississippi in the 1920s. He was born poor, but had an opportunity to go to college and then had an opportunity to go to Yale Divinity School. Then when he finished Yale, he came back to serve a little Baptist church in Louisiana. The only problem is somewhere Will got the idea that God loved everybody and wanted everybody to be together and that it didn't really matter about their skin color. So he welcomed black folks along with white folks. And that didn't sit real well with the church he was serving. So he had an opportunity to serve somewhere else. He went to direct the religious programming at the University of Mississippi, where he continued this idea that if God loved everybody, then people of all colors and all backgrounds ought to be together. And it got him in trouble again. One of the occasions of trouble was when he was playing ping pong with one of the local African-American pastors. The president called him into his office and asked what he thought he was doing, and Will explained that those ping pong paddles they were using were separate but equal. That humor was lost on the president, and Will got an opportunity to serve somewhere else. Actually, he got an opportunity to serve organizing within the civil rights movement. Very often, his was the only white face in the crowd. When the students marched into Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas, Will was there. At the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, when the followers of Martin Luther King were standing on ground grieving, Will was there. The only white face in the crowd. Often he was there over the opposition of his own people and sometimes over the opposition of those in the civil rights movement. After a while, Will had had so many opportunities to move on to new arenas of ministry that he called himself a bootleg preacher. He didn't have a church that he served. He was just kind of like a bootlegger. He just kind of went out wherever somebody had a need, and he would serve that need. He would help them in whatever way he could. Like St. Paul, Will was kind of a curmudgeon. He could be cantankerous. He could be contentious. I remember one time we had some friends from Malibu, California come in. Their daughter was getting ready to go to college at Smith up in New England, and they wanted to do a tour of the South. And in that tour of the South, they asked if I could arrange for them to meet Will Campbell. And I said, sure, I can do that. So I called him up. I told them, now these folks are from Malibu. They're vegetarian. They want to meet you. They're going through the South. They want a tour of the South. So we went and we visited with Will in this little house behind his house, which was his writing studio, I guess you would say. He had a barber chair sitting in it, and he would sit in the barber chair and hold court, and the rest of us would kind of gather around. And so they interviewed Will for a while, and it got to be lunchtime, and Will said, I want to take you to one of my favorite places. So he took us to his favorite barbecue place. My family and our vegetarian friends. They were able to eat the slaw, and they ate the beans, and I didn't have the heart to tell them that, you know, the beans had meat in them too. That was Will. That was Will. And yet there was a kindness in his heart for those who were wounded that I've experienced in few other human beings. After serving for years working in the civil rights movement, he became acquainted intentionally with members of the Ku Klux Klan. Now, he didn't switch his ideas about God loving everybody and wanting everybody to be together, but in the Klan members he associated with, he saw people with some deep wounds, and often their hatred came out of those wounds. And so he ministered to the folks in the Ku Klux Klan. Now, how could he do that? Aren't we supposed to take sides in this? Well, now listen, Will never hesitated to tell you what he thought. But he also never hesitated to extend the love of God to anyone he met, whether they disagreed with him or not. You see, I think that's what St. Paul learned on that road to Damascus. If God could welcome him, God could welcome anybody. Will's first book is a wonderful book called Brother to a Dragonfly. If you haven't read it, please do so. It will be on the final exam. In it, he describes his theology, which is basically that even though none of us deserves God's love, God loves us anyway. Now, Will says that in a bit more colorful fashion that I can't repeat in church. So if you're going to find out how he puts it, you're going to have to read the book. But that was his whole idea. It's that God loves us anyway. All of us. Doesn't matter who that is. All of us. And so he would go out into the countryside visiting folks, some with addictions, some living in hovels, some living in mansions. It didn't matter to Will. Wherever there was a broken heart and a broken life, he was going to be there. He was a most unusual Baptist preacher, in many, as you've already noted, I'm sure. He had a great love for Tennessee sipping whiskey. He had a great love for country music. And he had a great love for people. In another book of his called 40 Acres and a Goat, which will also be on the exam, he gathers stories about his moving to Nashville, about his finding the place in Mount Juliet where he has lived the rest of his life. He's still living. I'll get to that in a minute. But he also talks about the integration of schools and other institutions in Nashville because he lived and walked through that. He tells a story of another very distinguished Baptist preacher. You know, it's a little strange, this Methodist preacher talking about all these Baptist preachers, but it just works out that way this time. His name was Kelly Miller Smith. He was the pastor of First Baptist Church, Capitol Hill, which was the colored First Baptist Church in those days. He tells a story about sitting with Kelly Miller Smith all through the night in that church, waiting to see if someone was going to throw a firebomb through the window, because firebombs had already been thrown into J. Alexander Luby's house, who was an attorney here in town. Firebombs had also been placed elsewhere. They sat there waiting to see if one would hit First Baptist Church. Wherever there was a need for someone to stand, whether it was to take a stand for justice or to take a stand for mercy, Will was there. I remember when I was serving at Blakemore a few years ago, I parked my car there on the street. I got out to go into the church, and as I was doing it, I heard several pops, this popping sound. I thought, what in the world? And all of a sudden, an automobile came around the corner, not on the street, but across the grass, across the lawn of the church, between the church sign and the building. I mean, probably doing 70 miles an hour, speeding across there. And then right after it came a police car. Now, they didn't drive across the grass. They took the street. And I suddenly realized those pops were gunshots. I thought maybe I'd better get inside. So I got inside. I went back to my office. It wasn't 3 minutes before I got a phone call. I said, Michael, Will Campbell, you okay? I said, yeah, why? He said, well, there were gunshots. I thought, man, this guy is prescient. He had been driving by with his son right behind these folks. He had seen all of this happen. And he borrowed his son's cell phone in order to call to make sure I was okay. That's the kind of person that Will has been all of his life. Occasionally, we pastors will serve communion at Richland Place, because we have a number of our members who live there, and there are a number of folks from other churches who come to that service. I had done that a year and a half ago or so. As I was walking out of the building, I heard somebody call my name. I looked back, and it was Will. He was there. He was staying there. He had had some strokes. His son was with him, but he recognized me. We were able to have a good conversation. And so I decided every now and again I would check on him when I was over there. The last time I checked on him, however, he didn't know who I was. But you know what? He still welcomed me as if I was his closest friend. And I understand he does that to the nurses, to all the people who serve there, to other visitors, to other residents. It appears that much of Will's memory has either been erased or sent to some place so deep that not even he has access to it. The people he knew, that brilliant, quirky mind that he used so well. But what's left is that sweetness of spirit, that sense of welcome to everyone. Maybe that's the last thing to go. Maybe in God's economy, when everything else is gone, if we've practiced it throughout our lives, all the crankiness and the curmudgeonliness may get tucked away somewhere. But that welcome of all people, knowing that God loves, believe it or not, even those who disagree with me, maybe that's the only thing that remains. And maybe that's the only thing that's important. We should all be so blessed. Thanks be to God. Before we do our creed, I want to read you something. This is the quote I intended to use in one of the Jaber Crow quotes, and I do believe it describes both Will and Paul, so I'm going to read it to you, okay? It says, as I have read the Gospels over the years, the belief has grown in me that Christ did not come to found an organized religion, but came instead to found an unorganized one. He seems to have come to carry religion out of the temples into the fields and the sheep pastures, into the roadsides and the banks of the rivers, into the houses of sinners and publicans, into the town and into the wilderness, toward the membership of all that is here. Well, you can read it and see what you think. One way we tell our story and continue to tell our story is by accounting our creeds. And so I'd invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in your hymnal. You'll find there our story told in a statement of faith from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. And if you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table during our fellowship time, where you will find information about the many ministries of this church and a fresh baked treat for you. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared with the congregation or are to be kept confidential for the pastoral staff. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. You are invited to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know following our worship service. Today we offer our sympathy to the family of W. Ovid Collins, Jr., who died in Indiana on March 11th. Private services were held in Leavenworth, Indiana. A memorial service and reception were held here in Nashville on Friday. We invite you to prepare your hearts and minds to hear God speak to us in both our silent and spoken prayers. Let us pray. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Jesus, you are the light of the world. Bring the light of your gospel to the ends of the earth. As we pray for the church and for the world, our desire is that the leaders of all nations serve as instruments of your freedom, justice, and peace. May those in leadership of your church throughout the world give witness to your gospel in thought, word, and deed. Lord, you are the bread of life. Use us to give food to the hungry and nourish us all with your saving word. Remind us to use our gifts to support those who live on the margins and help us to stand up for those who have little or no voice among the systems of power. Lord, you are our way, our truth, and our life. Hear our prayer for the church, for all ministers, and all the people of God. Guide us and all who follow you in the way. Deepen our appreciation of your truth and renew us with your life. Lord, you are our blessing and our joy, and we thank you for all the blessings of this life, for those who love us, for occupations that fulfill us, and for leisure that restores us. Make us faithful stewards of your bounty. Lord, you are resurrection and life, and we remember before you all who have died and those who grieve this day. Jesus, you are our hope and our strength. Be close to all who are alone, rejected, unemployed, and give courage to all who are without hope. Lord, you are the good shepherd who gave your life for the sheep. Hear our prayer for all who are in need, who experience sickness this day. Bind up the injured, heal the sick, and inspire those whose faith is broken. We especially this day lift up our sisters and brothers in Boston, in West Texas, and in China, who have experienced and witnessed evil and violence or natural disaster and who suffer this day. Be near to those who experience violence and war in neighborhoods and suffering across the world. O Lord, our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. Now, surrounded by your great mercy, let us pray the prayer Jesus taught all of his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our tithes and offerings empower a witness both inside the walls of this church and outside the walls as a response to the needs of our community. Let us give thankfully and abundantly that we may be called God's generous people.
I would like to invite the congregation to be seated as those being presented for membership this morning make their way to the front. And as they're coming, if your attendance pads have already gone all the way down the row and all the way back down the pew, so it's where it started, can whoever's the last person to touch that tear out the attendance sheets and just place those on top of the pad when you leave? That saves the hospitality people about 90% of their time in picking those up after the service so they can go eat as well. Thank you for that. We have a special introduction this morning before we get started, so I'm going to let Dr. Michael Williams introduce newest members of our staff family.
Thank you, John. I'd like to introduce to you Raul Alegria and his wife, Bila. They are not joining the church today. They are members at Brentwood, but Raul is our new Minister of Administration and Finance. He comes to us with a lot of experience working with United Methodist agencies. He served on our Board of Pensions. He was the CFO at Board of Higher Education and Ministry, also at Lake Junaluska Assembly in the southeastern jurisdiction of the United Methodist Church. And now we are fortunate enough to have him here to help us. He's learning the peculiarities of our system here, but we are very pleased that Raul and Bila will be among us. They will be downstairs at the lunch if you would like to engage them in a bit more conversation, but I hope you will take time to shake a hand and say hello and say welcome.
We want to encourage anyone who has even the slightest inkling to come to the all-church lunch today, even if you didn't make reservations, to come anyway. We'll probably have enough food, and if we don't, you can have mine. Let's begin with our introductions, and I'm going in a certain order because that's kind of how I have it logged in my brain. Let's start with the McWaters family. This is Chrissy and Matt, and they're joining us this morning, transferring from another Christian denomination, and in the very near future, they will be baptizing their seven-month-old Amelia, who we look forward to celebrating and sharing in that faith journey with her. And related to that, but unrelated to the McWaters, I introduce to you Adrian Fazio. Adrian also has a six-month-old daughter named Francesca. Francesca. Close enough? Good. They're going to be baptizing, her and her husband Stephen will be baptizing Francesca in the very near future as well. Adrian is a United Methodist transferring from her home church, St. Paul's United Methodist in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. She works for the Department of Labor as an attorney. Next, I introduce to you Paula Gordon in the purple and Jane Irwin. They are joining, transferring from other denominations as well, and they've been active in worshiping here in the worship life of the church and been to some of the drama things and been to West End 101 and very, very engaged and have really found a home here, and it's wonderful. We welcome both of you. Next, we have Mallory Haley. Where's Mallory? Right here on the end. Mallory is already connected with the Tuesday Night Young Professionals group. She works at Vanderbilt Law School, coordinating events for alumni relations development type issues. She's transferring from Broadway United Methodist Church in Paducah, Kentucky. We're honored to have you. Next, we have Shannon Lee Turbyville. Shannon's in the choir, as you can tell, so she has wasted no time jumping in either. She goes by SL or Shannon Lee. She's transferring from her home church in South Carolina, I believe. And although she's been in Nashville now for 6 years, worshiping in some other congregations, and she found West End and said, oh, that's where I'm supposed to be. So we're glad. And lastly, have Bill and Allison Walker on the end. They are both honor students in the West End 101 class, graduated. Bill's with the Army Corps of Engineers as a geologist, which I got excited because I think that would be a fun job. They are transferring as well from another Christian denomination. One of the great things about United Methodist theology is that we recognize baptism as God's act. It's not the act of any one denomination or any one church. Yeah, y'all can face me now. They we recognize all baptized Christians as members of Christ's universal church. So everyone here is already a baptized Christian and welcome. So my first question are for those who are coming from another denomination to be United Methodist. So I ask this question of Chrissy and Matt, Paula and Jane, and Bill and Allison. Will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, say I will. Great. Now everybody here is United Methodist, so I ask the simple question. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in its ministries? By your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. If you will, say, I will. Great. The congregation, if you'll please stand and join me in affirming our newest members. Brothers and sisters, do all in your power to uphold these people, to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. And what that does is brings us all together in this covenant. So we're all traveling the journey as a family. New members, may the God of all grace strengthen you by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may live as true disciples all of our days. We invite everyone, of course, to join us downstairs. And as we're greeting our members here, I want to remind everyone that if you're interested in exploring membership, let me know, or you can come to the West End 101 class that's kicking off next week on a new 7-week cycle. Let's keep that in mind.
Now go forth to God. Go to the world in peace and love and strength and joy, witnessing with your very lives to God's love for all people. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.